The Earl's Masquerade, written by Amy Corwin and read by Ruth Urquhart.
Chapter 1. The greatest mischiefs happen from small circumstances. The Complete Servant. April 18, 1819, Burnham-on-Sea Beach, Somerset. Hugh Gerard Castle, 6th Earl of Mono, woke slowly. His face burned. He rolled over and gritted his teeth, thinking he had overslept after a night of terrifying nightmares. But instead of linen sheets, he found sand and sharp rocks. Sea salt stiffened his shirt and breeches. High above, the sun glowed merrily, scorching his raw skin. Everything ached. Even his eyelashes were sticky and made it painful to open his eyes. He rubbed his face, sat up and looked around. His hands cracked painfully when he flexed his fingers. Now fully awake, he winced as sudden grief kicked him in the gut. His left arm throbbed with the memory of losing his grip on Lionel's collar. But he could not deny himself another quick glance, hoping. He saw nothing but sand and rocks. The sea had taken his brother. Gritting his teeth, Hugh stood. He lurched forward, dizzy and sick as he searched hopelessly for any sign of his brother. The beach was empty, except something dirty white clung to the wet sand, shifting with the movement of the waves. He stumbled along the shore, ignoring the pain when he grazed his bare foot against the sharp edge of a rock. The stinging gash left a dull streak of blood in his wake until the sea silently crept forward to dilute and absorb it. He halted, weaving unsteadily. The object tumbling in the waves was a crumpled mass of canvas, tangled with a length of rope, part of a ship's rigging. The remains of his boat, Twilight, tumbled in the waves. Splintered wood and pieces of the hull littered the beach, crushed and abandoned like a broken toy. They should have been able to ride out the sudden squall. Yesterday, no, 2 days ago, he had inspected the Twilight from stem to stern. Her hulls had been scraped and repainted in dry dock. She had been seaworthy, and both men were experienced sailors. They had been through worse storms together. The Twilight had never failed them. He could not believe she would ever fail them. In a flash of rage, he swore at the sea, then at himself. Why had he not listened to Lionel? Why had they not gone to visit the vicar instead? His hands shook until he fisted them. Finally, he rubbed his wrist, trying to forget the feeling of sudden weightlessness in his arm when the sea had pulled Lionel from his grasp. And the guilt of the relief, the accursed relief, when he had risen to the surface of the ocean, unencumbered by the burden of his brother's body. His muscles shook uncontrollably, but despite his anguish, their last moments aboard the Twilight returned. The loose, unresponsive feel of the tiller in his hand haunted him. He stared at the sea. Finally, he turned away from the emptiness. Near battered chunks of the hull rocking in the waves, he spotted what looked like clothing.
Lionel?
He waded out and grabbed the bundle.
Nothing.
A spare shirt was tangled in the rudder, or what was left of the rudder. The bottom of it had broken off, but only half of the break showed the jagged edge where the wood had splintered. He ran his fingers along it. The other part of the break was smooth. Someone had sawn halfway through, leaving just a narrow section to hold the rudder together. Maybe he was wrong, mistaken. However, a warm, prickling flush ran up his back. The rudder had broken under his grip during the storm. He had been unable to turn about and force the bow into the wind. Even without the squall, they would have faced difficulties sailing back to Newport once the helm stopped responding. Deeper, ugly thoughts flashed into his mind. He had inspected the boat in dry dock. Surely he would have noticed if the rudder had been sawn almost in half. The damage had to have occurred after his inspection.